Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Main Street Business Podcast. My name is Mark Kohler. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, talking about the topic you've been waiting for. This is everybody's just been on pins and needles wanting to talk about healthcare, right?
Tis the season. It's open enrollment period. You know, happy holidays.
Yeah. If going to the DMV wasn't bad enough, if going to get a new cell phone wasn't bad enough, what else is worse? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Waiting in line on Black Friday for some special, you know.
Yeah. If those weren't fun enough. Yeah. Now we got to talk about health insurance. Ugh.
Well. Yeah. But guys, it's okay. We all need to have it, or at least have a plan for not having it. And the good news is there's some tax benefits to doing it right. We're going to outline that using the HRA, HSA, and give you some of the deadlines and tips you need to know as you're making a healthcare plan for next year.
Yeah. And we're going to dive right into the topic. There's two principal things we want to talk about: health savings accounts and health reimbursement arrangements, both of which you can have at the same time. They're different rules. We'll go through them, and really different scenarios where you, single or family or head of household, single dad, single mom, there's all sorts of little variations of which one might serve you best. But it's pretty cool. There's some really good things you can do. And a lot of people just don't want to talk about it. They just think it's a bottomless pit. I won't understand it. There's really no savings. But oh, people, there's some good stuff here. So.
Yeah. We'll get into the details here on what you should be considering. But the first thing you got to be knowing right now, I mean, this is November when we're talking about this, is we are in open enrollment period. A lot of people are making decisions now. And if you're going to go the health savings account route, you need the right type of plan. So as you're going through open enrollment, maybe an employer or individual coverage, you're selecting that, you might need to be on the lookout for a high deductible plan. In addition, of course, making sure you hit the deadline so you can enroll. So let me hit those open enrollment deadlines. Let's just get that out of the way, because it's not that fun.
And in fact, Matt, before you do that, let's create an outline for everybody here.
Okay.
So we'll go through open enrollment, choosing the right insurance. I know some of you have insurance just handed to you at work, but that doesn't mean you don't ask questions. We're going to talk about that. But let's talk about insurance and open enrollment. Then number two, health savings accounts. And some of you are like, well, I have until April to put money in. Ooh, there's things you need to do now, maybe. And then HRAs, the health reimbursement arrangement, and things you need to do before December 31st. Is there another topic in that we want to hit? Like those four things?
Right? I don't know. I'm sure we'll stumble
three
into something.
Gosh.
Things. Yeah.
I'm feeling there's a fourth. There's a fourth out there somewhere.
There's a mystery fourth one. You're just going to have to pay attention and see what we come up with.
That's true. We're going to shock you, surprise you. All right. Now, are you Goose or am I Maverick? Or am I Goose and you're Maverick?
I think you're Maverick today, you know?
Okay.
So I'm going to be co-pilot today. I think you're Maverick.
I'm Maverick. So that means I get the motorcycle ride with Kelly McGillis. That's all I want. I just want to make sure I'm good to go.
Okay. That's what you get. And I die. Don't I die? I die.
You die. You pretty much die. Yeah. So I hate to break it to you. Yeah. But you can play the piano and sing really well, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody loves Goose. I mean, so.
Yeah. And Corey says he's Iceman today. So.
Oh, I'm surprised Corey even knows who Iceman is. But
you're so young. Have you really watched Top Gun? Oh, I've watched Top Gun. Okay. All right. He says he's Danger Zone.
Danger Zone. Okay. Little Kenny Loggins, baby. All right. Okay. You know, you make Goose do the dirty work though. So let me just hit open enrollment.
Okay. Open enrollment.
If you don't mind. So right now we're in open enrollment. This means the time when you can change plans or select a new plan. And this is a designated time when you get to do that. This is from November 1st. Technically for 2022 coverage, which we're coming into year 2022, folks. I know it sounds crazy, but you have technically from November 1st to January 15th, 2022 to select coverage. Now, if you want coverage to begin on January 1st of 2022, you're going to need to make a selection by December 15th. So for most people, you need to know by December 15th.
Yeah. Now, open enrollment is typically for those that are self-employed or their company doesn't offer insurance. And so this is your time frame to say, what type of insurance do I want?
Yeah.
Now,
and a lot of companies, you might be in open enrollment period now too, of like, oh, I didn't opt into the company plan last year and I want to, or I want to change the different offerings that my company has. So you may be in this window too right now, even at a company.
Yes. And now for those of you who are like, well, I don't need to talk about this because I have insurance offered through work or through my spouse's job at work. So you're going to think you can just turn off right now. Like just, well, I'll ignore this part and wait for the HSAs. But no, 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 no. Here's why this matters. Whether you're in open enrollment now or in June, your employer says, hey, here's your insurance offerings. What do you want? And maybe they don't even tell you, give you the choice and a time. You want to reach out to your HR department and go, when do I get to choose the type of insurance I want? Do I have choices? And they may go, yeah, you missed the memo. And you're like, I want in. So Matt, what would you say people, whether they're in open enrollment or they talk to their employer, what is the key thing they need to think about?
Well, the first thing you need to be thinking about is, do you want an HSA? Do you want a health savings account? Because if you want a health savings account, which by the way, as a family, you got to put $7,300 in.
76. No, 72, 36. 72 married, 36 singles. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's 7,300 for year 2022. It's gone up. The IRS just released this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, fair enough.
For 2022, you got to put in $7,300 as a family or individual, $3,650.
Yeah.
So, but you must have a high deductible health plan that's HSA qualifying in order to do an HSA.
Yeah. Now, on that note,
be on the lookout for that.
Yes.
An open enrollment.
And we're going to get in. So please, if you're like, well, I don't care about an HSA. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Again, I'm trying to preemptively strike, you know, kind of like the U.S. is good at that. We're going to preemptively strike and blow someone up. So I'm trying to
kind of like George W. Bush or Dick Cheney.
The Dick Cheney move. No, it was Cheney. Yeah, it was the Dick Cheney movie. Okay, so I'm preemptively striking some of you that have preconceived notions. And that is, well, I don't need an HSA or my work doesn't offer an HSA. Your work may not offer an HSA, but they may offer a high deductible plan. You can open an HSA on your own. Now, we're going to talk about freaking how awesome HSAs are here in a minute. But here, I'm going to add another twist. When you're choosing insurance, whether with your employer or individually, the big question I think you need to ask is, am I generally healthy or not? If you're generally healthy and you don't foresee any knee surgery or you don't have any significant ailment and you're like, you know what? I'm pretty healthy. So why pay for insurance or make your employer pay for insurance that you really don't use? That's when the high deductible comes into play. Because you can say, well, the high deductible, in fact, we want to make sure we cover that. You know, what's the high deductible plan? This year is $1,250 if you're single or $2,500 if you're family or head of household. So as long as you have a deductible that's at least that high, then it opens the door for this HSA. And you may even save some premiums because you're like, hey, I'm going to come out of pocket for that first chunk. So give me a better premium insurance company. And that's very possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't know if my plan's HSA qualifying or not. It's going to say on the plan. Like your summary plan description, if you log in, is going to say whether it is or not. It's a selling feature for these plans. And if it doesn't and you're not sure, call the company. Get your insurance card, call the company and ask, is this an HSA qualifying plan?
Yep. All right. And here on camera, for those that are watching on YouTube, I need to do my product placement. Okay. There's my Rockstar Recovery, completely endorsed by my doctor and a write-off under my medical plan. No, not really. But but it is a dining expense when I'm traveling. So there we go. I put my product placement right here.
That's good to know. Now Rockstar gives Mark like some coupons, you know, if he gives him a shout out, you know, 50 cents off, you know.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a game changer in my financial plan. So, okay. So now many of you can study up on the difference between bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and you kind of move up the spectrum of better plans versus worse plans. What's interesting is you can have a high deductible bronze plan and you can have a high deductible platinum plan.
There's only bronze, silver, and gold. It's like the Olympics. I don't think they have platinum, do they?
Yeah. Platinum's the highest. Yeah.
Oh.
There's four bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. So
I didn't even know.
Yeah, now you know. Now, but you can have a high deductible plan in most of these categories. What really drives the cost, just a little insider tip, is your network. So as you start shopping and go, well, I want a high deductible plan, they're going to go, well, it's X dollars. And you go, well, what the hell? That's just as much as my other plan. And then you say, what's my network? And they go, oh, you're willing to go 30 minutes away for an emergency room, or your doctor is really not in this network anyway. That's where a lot of negotiating can occur. Now, for some of you that are at work, you're going to have probably a pretty basic choice, regular or high deductible. But again, as you're in this open enrollment, don't forget to talk about network, because that's going to change your premium quite a bit. Anything else on insurance? I mean, we're not insurance agents. We're not selling health insurance. Yeah. We just want to help warn you.
I think for the tax strategy, you know, one, of course, you have to have it. This is the Affordable Care Act. If you don't, you get a penalty. And two, be on the lookout for the high deductible plan if you want to do the HSA.
And I just remembered number four. You ready?
Yeah. Tease that out, please.
For those that want to deduct their health insurance, if you're a small business owner, you can deduct your health insurance premium. And if you are, you're an S corporation, you have to make sure that the S corp pays the premium, even if it's an individual plan. Let the S corp pay the premium to Blue Cross Blue Shield or whoever the hell. So make sure the S corp's paying the premium, and the amount of your total health insurance premiums paid for the year goes on a specific box on your W-2. It's absolutely critical. The IRS has been very vigilant on auditing this issue. Now, if you're just an LLC, sole proprietor, side gig, Uber driver, and you're buying your own insurance, it's deductible. So, but that's going to go on a Schedule C and flow around to the Schedule 1 of your, or Schedule 2 of your 1040. They've changed that all around. But anyway, just make sure you're deducting your health insurance if you're paying for it. If your employer's not, let's write it off.
Yeah. And U.S. Corp owners, that's on your W-2. If you've been doing this for 2021, that's going to be on your W-2 here in, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. It's coming around the corner here. So, all right, let's talk about the HSA and why it's cool.
Okay. All right. Number three. Because I inserted number four a little early. So we're going to move HSA to number three. Do I make that motion? Is that?
Without objection.
Okay.
Without objection.
You may move forward, Senator from Arizona. You have the floor.
All right. Here's why the HSA is cool. The HSA gives you three cool things.
Ooh, you got it down to three? Okay. I want to hear this. I'm all ears.
Three cool things. Okay. All right. Number one, I get a tax deduction. Love that. Right. Okay. And there's no phase out, no matter what your income is. All right. So if I'm family, I can put in $7,300 for 2022. I can make $1 million. I could be, you know, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, whoever, you know, tax information we all know now because it's all on the internet. You know, they can do an HSA and get a $7,200 deduction. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Reason number two, it's cool.
Okay.
You can invest it in whatever you want. A lot of people's HSA is just in a savings account. It's not even invested. Some people will buy stocks and mutual funds with it. Maybe they have an HSA at a broker dealer. But the cool kids, you know, they go out and self-direct it. They'll buy real estate. They'll buy crypto. They'll invest in all their alternative assets, which is what we, of course, do at Directed IRA. So that's number two. You can invest it and grow it. And that money grows and comes out, number three, tax-free for medical. So as I have medical expenses at any age, let's say I've got dental orthodontist for me or my kids. Let's say I, you know, prescription drugs, you got to go to the doctor, anything you're out of pocket for medical, you're going to be able to take as a, withdrawal, essentially it's tax-free from the HSA. Now, some people have like the debit card and stuff. We just use a distribution form. You list the medical you have, total it up, and we'll send you a check at the end of the year. And so that's an easy way. That way you don't have to have the HSA card when you're at the grocery store picking up a prescription, or you have to run to urgent care or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just track it, certify it's medical, and we send you a reimbursement. Comes out tax-free of the HSA.
Man, I like your three. I'm trying to figure out how many. I want to throw out – I'm going to what do you call it in poker? I'm going to call – No, I'm not going to call. No, I'm going to put in my three.
Raise?
I'm going to raise.
You're going to raise? Okay. Yeah. You're going to raise me. Okay.
I have to put it. There's a word for it. I put in my your three, and then I'm going to raise you three.
I don't know poker.
Whatever. I don't know. Corey, help me out. You're a poker player. Okay. I'm going to raise you three. I got three more. Okay. I'm going to do my best here, because everybody, you want to be sold on these. Number one.
Okay.
If you don't use it for medical in your lifetime, once you turn 59 and a half, you can pull it out like a regular IRA. Some people go, well, what if I don't use it for medical? Which I will argue you will. Number one reason people pull money out of retirement is for medical, but you can pull it out for regular money, like a regular traditional IRA at age 59 and a half. Until then, you can put the money in tomorrow and pull it out tomorrow.
Yeah. Love it.
Number one of my three. So that'd be four. Okay. Number five. If you die, you can leave it to your spouse as an HSA or to your children in an IRA. So it will keep its tax deferred status as an IRA with your kids or tax free status as an HSA with your spouse. So
that's pretty sweet.
Yep. I like that. You know, I'm going to say number six. On one hand, Matt's, I self-direct my HSA. I want to build it up and grow it. As some of you know that follow the show, I bought cows in my HSA, which they're up for sale right now, Matt. I'm getting out of the livestock business.
Okay.
Even though I watched Yellowstone season three, I was looking.
You already through season three?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't got
it. Season four's out.
Oh, the new one's out. Okay, I'm up to speed. I haven't watched the new season, though.
After all the shoot-ups in season three, I thought, you know what? I need to get out of the livestock business. Too dangerous. But anyway, so I'm selling my cows in my HSA. I'm making money, and it's going back into my HSA. So that's the self-directing thing that's pretty cool. But conversely, if you're like, well, I need the money. Mark, I don't have that much money that I can just throw it in an HSA and leave it there and grow it. Some of you do have that ability. But for those that don't, here's my number three. It's easy to access the money. There are HSA banks or HSA Visa cards so that if you don't want to self-direct, you can put the money in, you get a little HSA Visa, and when you go to the pharmacy or you go to the doctor or you go anywhere, you just use your HSA Visa card. So I would say that they're easy to administer if you want to pull money out rather than invest it. So that's my number three.
Yeah. And some people don't even put the 7,200 in. They're like, ooh, I've got 1,000 of medical coming up. I'm just going to drop 1,000 in, get the deduction and spend it out tax-free. And so they're not really using it to invest. They're just using it as a tax tool to get some tax deductions on the medical that you're not going to get anyways, guys. Yeah. Like when you're tracking your medical on your return, 99% of people don't get a medical deduction. You've got to be using the HSA to get that.
Yeah.
Here's one other cool tip I had. I was speaking a couple weeks ago and
you're going to raise me another.
I am. I'm going to raise you one. Okay, I mean, go ahead. You know, you can fold if you want. If you can't hang, you know, I mean.
No, I'm going to call you here in a moment. Okay, go ahead.
You're Maverick from Top Gun. You're not Mel Gibson Maverick. Okay. You're Top Gun Maverick. All right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right. So he had almost $100,000 in his HSA now.
Okay.
And he was like, should I stop putting money into this? He was in his 50s and he had a family plan. And he's like, I don't know. I'm going to have that much medical and it's already continuing to grow. And I'm like, well, you know, there's actually some cool things you can use it for. You end up in a nursing home or long-term care. HSA can pay for that. Also a cool, and I learned this last year, you can pay your Medicare premiums. So when you're eligible for Medicare, you hit into your 60s, you know, there's Medicare that's free and there's the Medicare Part B and the other pieces you buy that actually has a premium.
Yeah,
you can use your HSA to pay your Medicare premiums, which if you're getting into Medicare in your 60s and you live until you're 80, 90, 100, that's a lot of years of Medicare premiums.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome using that HSA so you're not depleting your other resources. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff you're going to be able to use this for as you get older in life. You're going to want it. As Mark said, number one people deplete their retirement account is for medical.
Yeah. Now, this is probably a good moment in our podcast today, because we'll move on to HRAs now. But let me just throw this out, a little shameless plug, if I may. I do a monthly webinar. Prices will probably go up next year. So this is a great chance to grab it if you want. I do a monthly webinar for $25. And you get access to the last 11. It's a live webinar where I share my screen from my home office and we go through a topic every month. This week, I did healthcare. And I'm doing it tonight. By the time you listen to this podcast, it'll already be in the hopper. but that'll be about an hour, hour and a half. And I'm going to go more in depth on the HSA because there's some rules when you're 55 to 65, once you turn 65, what can I do? And I do a lot of Q&A on the webinar. It's live and interactive. So if some of you want to go to my website, markjkohler.com, sign up for the webinar series. You can watch the healthcare webinar from this week and the last 11. It's a rolling 12. So as I go into December, I'll drop off January's from last year. And so lots of different topics. So I think you'll enjoy that. So get over there. If you got to study this. It's a chapter in my book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, and we've got other podcasts on it as well. All right, Mr. Sorensen, are we ready for the HRA?
Yeah, let's hit the HRA. Now, let's first say on the HSA, I just want to contrast a couple of things. Everyone can do an HSA if you have a high deductible plan. You don't need to be self-employed, okay? You can have a day job and just a rental. You could just have a day job. Doesn't matter. You could have a day job side hustle, you know. Like not everyone can do an HRA. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But the HSA is for everyone if you get the high deductible plan.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. All right. So that's a good transitionary point to the HRA, which does require a small business. Now, if you're single, it's kind of a two-step process, whether you're single or married, because you can't usually offer the HRA. Okay, let's back up. An HRA is a health reimbursement arrangement. Let's say you went to go work for a company and they go, hey, you turn in your receipts, we're going to cover X dollars of your medical. It's a reimbursement arrangement. There's no account. There's no center. You just turn in your receipts and you use it. It's kind of like a flexible spending account, but it's for business owners. So the point is this little reimbursement arrangement doesn't involve a third-party bank. It doesn't involve an insurance company. You don't have to have insurance, but you have to have a business because the business has got to somehow indirectly provide a reimbursement arrangement for you. Now, whether you're single or married, you can't do it directly out of your business. The IRS says, nope, that's too much self-dealing. And so we have to add a little extra step in the process. That's what tax lawyers get paid for, is to create a loophole. And we create this extra step that has been around for years and years and years, very well accepted. That loophole has not been closed. And so we can add a second step. And whether you're single or married, you can get reimbursed for your medical expenses. So anything else you'd add kind of from a general perspective of?
Yeah. So if you're thinking, well, I own my own business. I'm looking at the HRA, but maybe I've only got a few grand in medical every year. I'm pretty healthy. Should I look at the HRA? Probably not. Play in the HSA pool. It's easier. It's more simple. You get the tax section when you put it in. You can invest it and grow. It comes out tax-free for medical. I'd probably stay in the HSA. But if you're like, guys, I'm single and I'm exceeding 3,650, or I'm family over seven. We want to look at the HRA as step two.
I like it.
Or instead of step one, but you got more medical. You need more medical for it to work.
So having a small business, let's go through a few of the steps. So if some of you don't have a small business, but you have a lot of medical, this is another reason to consider a side hustle, which we love side hustles to build wealth, to grow into a S corporation, a business that makes you a lot of money, funds your retirement, helps you
grow into a full-time hustle.
Yeah, full-time hustle. Speaking of side hustle and Tom Cruise, maybe you're looking for a new small business. There's a little movie called Risky Business, you know. Risky Business. he was looking for a business and he thought, you know, I need to make some money. So if you haven't seen the movie, you know, I'm not going to give you any. No spoiler alert. He starts a business that one might call illegal in some circles, unless you live in Nevada and, you know.
Yeah, in 49 states.
Yeah. But he had a business. And you know what? I was recruited, Matt. This is all joking aside. When I got out of law school as a tax lawyer, I was recruited to become a criminal tax lawyer. And some of you may go, what the freak is a criminal tax lawyer? Well, in Risky Business, Tom Cruise starts this business. Basically he's a pimp in college. Anyway, he starts this business and, even though he would go to prison or jail for his business and prosecuted for that, he still owes taxes on the money he made. Isn't that crazy? And so a lot of times the IRS is waiting for criminals to get busted for drugs or whatever they're doing, racketeering, prostitution, bad things, whatever. And then the IRS is like, oh, by the way, you made money. You need to pay taxes on that. So, he could have provided an HRA plan in risky business, you know?
Yeah.
And that,
I mean, of course, everybody remembers Al Capone. I mean, you know, killed people, had a criminal enterprise, went to prison for not paying taxes.
So it's crazy. So, you know, you got it. So anyway, I think it's kind of fun to talk about this. I hope some of you don't get offended.
But the point is, this is a legit strategy.
This is legit.
Maybe that's the tangent Marcus going down.
Not
to freak you out with that tangent, but
Tom Cruise, you know, what a master. He's got motorcycle rides, subway rides. I mean, he just does it all, you know, so good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, all kidding aside, having a small business that you're passionate about and love and it can make you extra money, this is a side benefit of having a small business, is that you can create a tax deduction for all your medical expenses. So many young people come up and go, hold it, your medical isn't a write-off? No, not really. Itemizing sucks. You'll probably never get a write-off. So in an HRA, if you're single, I'll just say this quickly, you would set up a sister company, a C corporation, that would hire you for serving your business. So you would actually get paid through a separate entity that hires you to run your small business. And like Matt said, you have to really analyze how much medical do I have? Do I really have a big enough business that makes sense for this too? But if you do, run the numbers, the HRA would require a second entity. We charge about $400 to set up your HRA every year. It's self-administered. You run it. There's no other fees or anybody else managing it for you. It's all you. If you're married, then you would hire your spouse through a little sole proprietorship, typically the same sole prop that you would hire kids if you're doing the kids strategy. And that sole prop is a little easier and cheaper to manage because it's a Schedule C, as in Charlie. You don't have that C corporation, as in Charlie Corporation. So you've got the Schedule C that you would hire the kids, hire your spouse, and then do the HRA for your spouse, which includes the whole family and you. So that's kind of the loophole. You have to kind of go a step away if you're single, a step away if you're married, and then backdoor the HRA into the whole family reimbursement. But I've got diagrams in my book. We'll go over it in the webinar tonight.
Now how much medical can I reimburse? Aren't there some caps they put on some HRAs, but not on others?
Well, it's interesting. This has been all over the board. During the Affordable Care Act with President Obama, there was a limit that was imposed of $10,000 for a while, where you could only do a reimbursement of up to $10,000 in a sole proprietorship, small business, solo owner scenario. Under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, it was modified where the $10,000 stayed in place and there was other limits imposed. So if you have other employees, the HRA is a little more of a challenge. But if you're, again, solo employed, family business, there's no limit. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act took that limit away. So we've had clients that have sent kids or spouses to treatment, rehab, we've had clients go through significant major surgeries. They've had cancer. They've gone through a terrible car accident where they had to come out of pocket for this. They've had get delivered babies that were preemies for 3 months. And I mean, medical can add up really, really quick.
Yeah.
And so if you have a substantive small business, you can backdoor a write-off for all those medical expenses in your business. It's insane.
Yeah.
I had clients in tears when they find this out and they realized their autistic child expenses could have been written off for years and no accountant told them. It's just, it's terrible. So,
love it. So remember HRA, if you have higher medical, it's a reimbursement arrangement process that the company is going to be reimbursing for medical and you need to track that. And so much medical counts, like Mark talked about, it could be rehab, it can be therapy, it could be for your dependents, for kids, for spouse. Obviously, the regular out-of-pocket medical you think about, going to the doctor, prescriptions, all that. Those are all expenses that can be reimbursed under the HRA.
Yeah.
And we have a document, we have an HRA document and a reimbursement procedure we can help set up.
Damn it. Okay. I wanted to add one more item to the HSA, which I think I could arguably add to the HRA as well. So this is my last item. What's cool here with the HSA and the HRA, there's no phase out if you're rich. There's no, you know, we've got all these one percenter make more than 400 grand rules coming down in the new legislation. It's kind of been part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I mean, even Trump had to make concessions on wealthy earners over a certain level. The high income earners get phased out of certain strategies all the time. With the HSA, anybody can fund it if you're under age 65 with a high deductible plan. With an HRA, you just need a small business, any income level. So that's a nice thing too. So for those that are wealthy going, well, I'm sure I phase out. Nope. You're in.
Yeah. They're for everyone. Yeah. You can have an HSA. You can have an HSA. You can have an HRA if you have a business, you know, so they're for everyone. And we all have medical. You just got to kind of find the medical level you have to determine between the HSA and HRA. Make sure you're staying on the ball with open enrollment, you know, and have a strategy there. There's obviously some cost sharing ministries and some other things to look at. We've written, talked about that in the past on prior shows on for a cost sharing ministry, which by the way, if you do a cost sharing ministry, that doesn't qualify as a high deductible plan for an HSA. That's a common question we get.
Ooh, yeah. There's another point. Oh my God. I know. I don't even know where we're up to. 3, 6, I mean, 7, 8, that'd be 0.9. Yeah. And those, and you know, if we were going to, it would not, sorry, how do you say it? It would be regrettable if we didn't bring up that topic, maybe as our last note. The healthcare cost sharing ministries are getting more and more popular. It doesn't mean you need to join someone's church. It is a way to really collectively contribute a smaller amount, cut insurance companies out of the middle. And these ministries are paying for medical expenses for people that turn in receipts. And they've been a big benefit for people in saving dollars going out the door. But you don't get a write-off for contributions to a healthcare sharing ministry. And you don't, it doesn't allow you to do an HSA. So you've got to keep that in mind. But Matt, you've done the ministry 1 year or two. Are you on one right now?
Yeah. No. I'm on just a regular, just kind of open enrollment plan. Silver. Got a silver plan. But
when you were part of your ministry, did you get a card where you could, you know, perform a marriage? Like, could you?
No. I mean, I wasn't a minister. I was part of the ministry.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
There's a difference, you know. So, but I did get a, you know, cost sharing ministry card, kind of like an insurance card. But I use that because Arizona, right when the Affordable Care Act came out, was so inexpensive for healthcare. It was like,
so expensive.
There was one provider left. So expensive.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't, I didn't want to do it. So I tried the cost sharing ministry. I actually liked it and I didn't have significant medical. So it wasn't too bad. Saved, you know, over $500 a month on the cost of health insurance. And so, but at the end of the day, I just wanted the comfort of the healthcare plan once pricing got a little more competitive in Arizona.
Yeah. Now, Rick Taylor, one of our partners in the accounting firm side of our practice, has 8 kids. Let that soak in.
Bless him.
I mean, can you bless him? He'll have like 5 teenagers at one point. I mean, talk about, you know, poster child for Xanax. But anyway, he 8 kids, and he is such a great parent. He and his wife do such a great job. They came from big families. It's kind of their gig. But they joined a cost sharing ministry, and he said it was fantastic. They had so much in medical, he got excommunicated. You know, they cut him.
We can't really handle all this medical.
You're out. You're kicked out of the church. So anyway, yeah. So, but Rick was a huge advocate too, even with a lot of medical expenses. It turned out well. Okay. Well, any final tips, Mr. Sorensen?
No, I think that's it. Everyone's in a little different situation. That's why we kind of like to go over all the strategies, just find what works for you. That's what tax planning is all about. And as we're doing a lot of tax planning in our law firm at year end, the accounting firm too at Marks Accounting Firm, you know, it's a lot of these little things that you do. It's 5 or 10 things that you do that add up to be big savings on your tax return.
Yeah.
The healthcare strategy is one of those 5 or 10 you're going to implement. And we're going to look at 25 maybe, but you might be executing 5 or 10. This is one of the most popular. Yeah.
And I want to give one other tip here. We're grateful for so many viewers on YouTube and listeners on, I want to say iTunes or Stitcher or all the different podcast platforms. We've had some followers and clients a little frustrated. They're like, man, we're six weeks away from the deadline. I can't get an appointment. I'm dying here. I love your strategies, but what do I do? I want to make a couple recommendations because we hear you. We want to help, and it's hard. is there's a lot of strategies you can implement before year end by just taking a little more time to learn about them. And you don't have to pay big dollars per hour if you'll take a few extra hours to just dive a little deep. And some of the every strategy Matt and I have taught on the podcast, there's a corresponding chapter or article somewhere on our website. There's my workshop coming up December 3rd and 4th on Zoom nationwide. And we've got a lot of people registered for that. Lots of Q&A, lots of people involved. I'd really love, Matt, for you to come in for that one again. It was fun when we did the summit in person together. Maybe I'll try to entice you for that one day. But anyway, participate in the Business Owner Workshop on December 3rd and 4th. You can sign up at my website, links down below. And whether you're paying kids or buying a vehicle or trying to write off a new rental property or some healthcare strategy, don't feel like all is lost if you can't get an appointment with any professional, even at our office. Just take a little extra time and do what you can by just getting engaged in the process. You don't have to be an expert. And then we can clean it up in January and make the appointment and just go for it. Any final, does that sound okay? Would you change that recommendation at all, Matt?
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, this is our busiest time as a tax lawyer. You know, I know the tax return deadlines are big for accountants, but year-end planning for tax lawyers is busy and we're, you know, hiring new staff and everything. So, but we're also trying to work with our current clients. So, but we'll be ready. We're here when you need us. You might have to wait a little bit, but I think the most successful clients are kind of captain of their own ship anyways. They kind of figure out what to do. The HSA, for example, is one you can really just do on your own. HRA takes a little bit of work. You'll need some execution help on that. Thanks for being with us. And if you're liking the show, make sure you're subscribed, you're sharing it with your friends. It's funny, I was speaking at a conference last week and a guy's like, I saw your name on the thing and I thought it was familiar, but I didn't realize who you were until you started speaking and I heard your voice. He's like, I listen to your podcast all the time. And he's like, I'm like, oh, that's the guy.
Did he say, I know that annoying voice? He didn't say that.
He's like, oh man. It was all like that. Snooze. No, he was excited, of course.
Like, I recognize that deep, mature voice. He's like, you know, that must be Matt Sorensen.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody. Will be here next week. We'll still record Thanksgiving week. A lot of our topics right now, between now and year end, are going to be kind of year end strategy oriented. We don't want to make sure all of you have any year end strategies and tips checked off your boxes checked. So appreciate you. Please give us a review and share it. I think a lot of people will appreciate it. We want to help as many people as we can and keep living the dream, folks. Don't give up. See you next week.